The following is a sermon from Pastor Timothy Borman and Sure Foundation, a church located in Woodside, Queens, New York, the world's most diverse community. For more information and for more audio content, go to sure-foundation.org.
Very easy to want to give up halfway through. A few summers ago, my friends and I decided that we were going to hike our first 14er in Colorado. That is a mountain that is 14,000 feet high. We were committed. We made the plan. We were determined that nothing was going to stop us until we got to the very top. Or at least, that's what we thought. As we gained elevation that day, each step became heavier and heavier. Each breath became harder and harder, and what once started as a very exciting and fun activity quickly became one of the most exhausting and challenging experiences of our lives. To the degree that at one point we laid on the ground and looked at the sky and wondered if we should just pack our things and go home. Because that's often how it goes. Even if you have a strong mission, even if you have a strong calling, when the climb gets difficult, when obstacles appear, when the cost becomes clear, it's very easy to want to give up before reaching the very end. Last Sunday, we heard Jesus give his disciples a mission to go out into the harvest field and proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God. Salvation to a world that desperately needs it. But Jesus knew that the difficult part for his disciples was not going to be receiving the mission, but that it would be for them to keep it until the very end. And so this morning, as we find ourselves on this difficult hike, God wants to encourage our hearts. He does not want us to pack our things and go home, but he wants us to keep the mission until the very end. And he's going to give us three great encouragements to do that very thing. Keep the mission until the very end without fear of those who oppose you, without doubt of your Father's care, and without hiding your Savior. We can keep the mission until the very end without fear of those who oppose us because they are expected and because their power is limited. These verses in Matthew 10 are part of a larger discourse in which Jesus is sending out his disciples to evangelize. He doesn't just command them to do this and sends them on their way, but he actually tells them exactly what the result of their evangelism is going to be. He shows them what the life of a faithful Christian will look like. And he says in verse 16, "I am sending you out like sheep among wolves. Brother will betray brother to death. And a father will betray his own child. Children will rebel against their parents and put them to death. And all because of me. You will be hated by everyone because of me and because of my message." At first, this sounds like a terrible, horrible future, doesn't it? I mean, none of us want to be the reason why families are divided. None of us want our families to be divided. But Jesus is not telling us this so that we become afraid of our faith. Rather, he's making us aware of this reality so that we are encouraged and so that we know that opposition is expected. One of the reasons why that is such an encouraging thought is because when opposition, when that kind of opposition happens in your life, You can think back on when Jesus said and know that he's telling you the truth. When I decided to become a pastor, my family laughed at me. And many of them ridiculed me and hated me for going into a profession that made little to no money whatsoever. And even to this day, when I try to tell them about Jesus, I'm often received with a cold hand. The reason why I'm sharing that with you is because I know that that is not just a me and my family type of situation. I know that many of you here have family members that look down on you because of your faith. People that you're trying to reach and yet get no answer whatsoever. And what God wants you to know is that that is not strange, that is not uncommon, but that's exactly the thing he said was going to happen because of your faith. It is not a reason for you to be afraid of the calling that you have, but it's the very proof that you're exactly on the right path. Because God does not try to sugarcoat things for you. He doesn't try to manipulate you and tell you what you want to hear so that you do what he says. No. He, at all times, every time, tells you nothing but the truth. In this case, that opposition is expected. And the beautiful thing about that is that in the same way that God is honest about the reality of this opposition, he also tells us that this opposition has limited power. We read in verse 28 of our text, and he says, "Do not be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid, honor, and respect the one who can kill both body and soul in hell." Again, God does not sugarcoat things for us in these verses. He's speaking to that very fearful heart of ours and wants to realign it so that we remember who is in full, complete, and ultimate authority. God. And this is what he says. Do not be afraid, for the worst that your opponents can do against you is to temporarily kill your body. I'm going to say that again. The worst that your opponents can do against you is to temporarily kill your body. And that sounds a little crazy, doesn't it? I mean, I know it sounds crazy because I'm basically telling you that the worst that people can do to you when you tell them about Jesus is to kill you. And anyone else out there who hears that message would go, you know what? Forget about it. I'm out of here. I don't want to be a part of this mission. This sounds insane. Anyone else out there who hears that would say that is crazy. But not you. Not you who are the very people of God. People of the God, not of the dead, but of the living. The one true living God who is known for raising people back from the dead. And who through his own son proved that death is not the end for the Christian. Not you. This is an encouragement and a realignment of the heart to know that whatever power you think your opponent has does not compare to the power of your Lord. So we can keep the mission until the very end without fear of those who oppose us, because we know, and God tells us the truth, that they are expected, but also that their power is limited. Jesus, in these verses, also doesn't just talk about the power of God, but he also encourages us to keep the mission until the very end without doubting the Father's care. The God who rules over all things in the universe deeply concerns himself about the smallest details of life. Some people, even some Christians, when they go about in the mission of God and experience difficulties, think and believe that their struggles are so important or so less important to the Lord that he's not paying any attention to them. They think that they are so small and so insignificant to this great God that all of their struggles are not worthy of his attention. That their battles are happening outside of his knowledge. And that they find themselves completely alone dealing with it all. And to that thought, Jesus has a word. So that when we find ourselves thinking this way, we're not moved to pack our things and go home, but rather we trust in our Father's care. He says in verse 29, "Are not two sparrows sold for just one penny? Yet I tell you that not one of them, even though they are practically worthless, not one of them will fall to the ground outside your Father's care." Sparrows, at the time of Jesus, were the cheapest birds that were sold at the marketplace. They were common, ordinary, insignificant to most. If a sparrow fell from the sky in first century Israel, nobody would notice. And although they were ordinary, although they were practically worthless, every single one of them was known and cared for by God. This is the picture that Jesus is painting, an argument from the lesser to the greater, that this God, who rules over all things in the universe, is not oblivious to the smallest details of life. That this God deeply concerns himself about his creation, and that this God is your God. "Do not be afraid," he says. "For if God cares about the birds of the sky who are practically worthless, how much more isn't he going to care about you? You who are the crown of his creation. You who are the beauty of the work of his hands. The reflection of his image made in holiness and righteousness through Christ Jesus. Do not be afraid and keep the mission until the very end without doubting your Father's care for you. For he is not too busy. He is deeply concerned about the smallest details of your life." Jesus now wraps things up by giving us the ultimate encouragement, a beautiful promise to motivate us to keep the mission until the very end without hiding our Savior. There is only one mediator between God and men, and his name is Jesus Christ. And this is what he says in verses 32 and 33. "Whoever acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever disowns me before others, I will disown before my Father in heaven.
Now, I want to be really careful here, because I don't want you to believe the wrong thing.
Jesus is not saying that anyone who speaks his name will enter the kingdom of God. It is not just about speaking the words and saying the words. True and faithful confession is always a reflection of the heart. And if a person does not believe in their heart that Jesus is Lord and that He alone brings salvation, then it does not matter what they say. Christ will disown them before the Father on the last day. The promise that Jesus is talking about here belongs only to the Christian. It belongs to that person for whom Jesus lived perfectly on this earth, and for whom He died, and for whom by the power of the Holy Spirit, faith was created in their heart to believe in His name and believe in His truth. In other words, this promise belongs to you. It is a reminder. It is a reassurance of the reality that awaits for you in heaven. Why should you keep going and why should you keep telling people about Jesus, keeping the mission of God? Because in the same way, Christ Jesus will confess your name before the Father in heaven. I don't know if this happens to you or not, but often when I meet a new person, I'm not eager to tell them that I'm a Christian. Even as a vicar, I'm not eager to tell people what I do for a living. At least not at first. At first, I get shy and nervous, and I don't want them to look down on me or to think less of me. And I think all of us can remember times when fear produced silence. I think all of us can remember times when we shied away from sharing our faith. And what Jesus has given us here is the ultimate encouragement for those very moments. So that when you feel that desire to stay silent, you're eager and motivated to speak and shout all the more. So that when you feel that there's no benefit at all in telling someone about Jesus, you're moved to say it and proclaim it loud and proud. And why? Because a beautiful promise belongs to you. That on the last day, when you stand before the throne of God, in the presence of all the heavenly beings, God will not turn His face away from you, disgusted by sin, but through the confession of Jesus Christ, and by your faithful proclamation of His name in faith, God will embrace you as His very own and speak those sweet words, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." There is no approval and there is no favor greater than the one God gives to those who faithfully proclaim His name. There is no approval and there is no favor greater than the one God gives you through faith in Christ. So keep the mission until the very end without hiding the Savior that will faithfully confess your good and gracious name before God. My brothers and sisters in Christ, the climb is often challenging and exhausting. And it is very easy for us to want to give up, pack our things and go home halfway through. But praise be to God that He has given us great encouragements to keep going with strength and with joy. Praise be to God
that we're motivated to keep the mission until the very end without fear of those who oppose us. For they are expected and their power is limited. Without doubting our Father's care, for He knows the smallest details of our lives. And without hiding our Savior. For on the last day, Jesus will confess our name to be holy and righteous before the Lord. May the God who called you, the Father who cares for you, and the Savior who will confess your name, keep you faithful in the faith. May He strengthen your hearts, guide your every steps, and preserve you until the day when you stand before Him in glory. Amen.